I'm Kai Wright.
I'm Kari Sherman.
And we are here to tell you about our new show, which is rooted in this feeling that at least I have, I know you have, where, you know, it's kind of like when you wake up in the morning and you pick up your phone and you're just hit in the face with a fire hose of news, right?
Like, there's war, there's authoritarianism, our planet is burning. I could go on and on and on.
And on and on and on. But, like, we're trying to figure out how to manage it, right? Like, how do you manage it?
I manage it by leaning in and trying to learn more and trying to figure out, okay, how can I be smarter about this particular topic? And who can I talk to that's going to make me feel better about it?
And who can tell me who's responsible for the mess that I'm reading about? So that's our mission. That's the show.
Welcome to Stateside with Kai and Carter. We're a new show from The Guardian.
We're talking to big thinkers and the best journalists, just trying to understand the world through smart conversation and honest reporting.
We don't have billionaires telling us what to say.
Stateside with Kai and Carter will come out 3 times a week, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, starting May 13th.
Follow on Apple Podcasts or catch us wherever you watch or listen.
Let's talk about Sandy Hook. Of the many despicable conspiracy theories that Alex Jones has propagated, Sandy Hook is, I think, easily the worst. And this was a year before you started working at InfoWars, but it's something that he was repeating over and over again, including when you were there. Why did you stand for that? And what did you make of his lies?
It wasn't even on my radar when Jones started saying that, which to me is the craziest part of it from my perspective. Mm. As a listener of his show, I had to have heard him say that. I don't remember hearing him say that. Mm. What I remember specifically is the Boston Marathon bombing. He said that that was a false flag. He said that that was, you know, that some of those people were actors and some of those people didn't die. And every time there was a mass casualty or a tragedy, Jones claimed that it was a false flag. That was the perennial response.
Blue screen, green screens. But it took me about a year with Sandy Hook to come to grips with the fact that the whole thing was fake. I mean, even I couldn't believe it. I knew they jumped on it, used the crisis, hyped it up. But then I did deep research, and my gosh, it just pretty much didn't happen.
And when he says false flag, what does he mean by that?
Essentially, he means that our government had a hand in making sure that happened so that they could push an agenda. Mm-hmm. For Sandy Hook, Jones claimed that it was to take away firearms, was to create an incident that was so horrific that people would finally agree to give up their Second Amendment. That's the idea in a nutshell. You know, his story with that shifted constantly. It was, maybe there were kids that died. No, there weren't kids that died. Mm-hmm. Maybe there are real families. No, there aren't, you know. But at the end of the day, those families had to deal with the worst thing that a human being could go through. I mean, it's mm-hmm. up there. And Jones just twisted the knife. Jones just made it worse. And I said earlier that he had no value for truth, and that, you know, that a lot of it was BS. Mm. I think Sandy Hook is something deeper and something different. I don't think he cares. I just don't think he has any concern about how his rhetoric affects anyone outside of himself.
Of all of the people saying that we faked this and that it never happened and that she's still alive somewhere. God, if she were, wouldn't that be amazing? But she wasn't.
It wasn't just his words, right? It was after suffering an unimaginable loss. These families, these parents, then faced years of severe harassment from Alex Jones's fans.
I got sent pictures of dead kids because I was told that as a crisis actor, I didn't really know what a dead kid looked like. So this is what it should look like.
He was sued by the families for defamation and was ultimately found liable for over $1.4 billion in damages. But I really still struggle to comprehend how anybody could propagate such a lie about that group of people.
Look, I do too. I struggle to understand how someone could work in his world while that lie was being propagated, and mm-hmm. I did it.
Do you understand now that it was absolutely irresponsible of you to do that?
It was, especially since I've met the parents and It's 100% real, as I said on the radio yesterday, and as I said here yesterday. It's 100% real, and the media still ran with lies that I was saying it wasn't real on air yesterday. It's incredible. They won't let me take it back. They just want to keep me in the position of being the Sandy Hook man.
When the Sandy Hook trial happened, Jones said that he believed that the tragedy had occurred. But then shortly after that, he started questioning it again. And now he is once again claiming that, oh, you know, maybe it didn't happen. Maybe this whole thing was an attempt to remove me from the airwaves.
Mm. Have you ever spoken to any of those parents?
I don't like to talk about the specifics, but I was contacted by one family member. I don't want to say their name, but it meant a lot to me. They were incredibly kind. They didn't have to be. Honestly, I'm not sure if they should have been.
Yeah, you could forgive them if they just contacted you to say, shame on you. You propped up this guy. You helped spread his lies.
Yeah, that's honestly what I felt like I deserved and still feel like I deserve. But that's not what happened. And they were incredibly kind to me, and it meant a lot to me.
And you left InfoWars in 2017. What was the final straw for you, or what was the turning point?
There wasn't a final straw. It was years of small things, big things. I would say Trump coming on the scene was a big part of it. We talked about how it went from fringe to mainstream. We were, you know, in a lot of ways in the beginning, I felt like we were sort of screaming into an echo chamber. Jones had a little audience here of people that believed these things, but then it started to go out and affect the world. Jones became much more overtly racist and sexist in his rhetoric, and I think a lot of that was hinged on Trump's ability to do that and win an election in this country. And so it was everything.
And we're talking just days after Alex Jones announced that InfoWars, after nearly 30 years, has officially stopped broadcasting and it shuttered its Austin headquarters. The final show took place last week. How did you feel when you heard that news?
I think it's a mix of emotions. I'm glad that that happened. I'm glad that the families have this victory. I'm glad that hopefully a precedent has been set.
Yeah, because it's being liquidated, isn't it, to compensate the Sandy Hook families who he still hasn't paid damages to.
From everything that I've read, the families haven't received anything from him yet. A few years ago when Jones was deplatformed off of all social media, I think people wiped their hands of him and they said, okay, he's gone.
Yeah, good riddance.
Yeah, the problem is no longer there. Good riddance, but also there's really nothing to worry about anymore. The bad man is gone. Mm. Well, that wasn't true. Now he's back on Twitter X, and he has now lost InfoWars. And I think people right now are saying he's gone. Well, Jones has a new show that he's already started the day after his InfoWars brand ended.
When I grow up, I want to take down the New World Order.
Do you think he's even capable of stopping?
Oh, no, I do not think so at all. I mean, what would he do with himself? This is his entire identity. I mean, wouldn't it be great if he came out, admitted the things that he had done, acknowledged it, took responsibility, and then went away? That's not going to happen. It's never going to happen. He has everything in place to continue doing what he's doing. He claims that it's all owned by a third party, so the courts can't touch it. So I just don't think there's any comfort in this. I think it's great that it happened. It's important that it happened, that he lost InfoWars and that he has been siloed off into this other thing. But there is another thing, and there will always be another thing.
You're listening to Alex Jones.
One of the most surprising elements of this whole saga is that the satirical news site The Onion has won a bid to take over the original InfoWars site. They've pledged to pay the Sandy Hook families, and they've appointed the comedian Tim Heidecker to play the role of Alex Jones. And I guess we should say at this point that it could still be blocked by the Texas State Appeals Court. But I'm curious, what do you make of this outcome?
I just think it's sort of perfect. I heard that Tim Heidecker will sort of parody his show for a couple months, and then it will turn into a platform for comedians. I think essentially what they hope to happen is that in years down the road, when people hear InfoWars, they will think of something completely different than what they might now associated with Jones.
Just won a major battle, folks. Okay, Alex and his gang of liars and scoundrels have been cast out into the street. They have lost InfoWars. I am confirming now I am wearing his skin. I've been wearing his skin now for about 2 weeks, and it is tough skin. It is Texas skin. Leathery.
When I first started working there, I was told that, you know, InfoWars is sort of a play on Star Wars. Jones is obsessed with Star Wars. He's obsessed with movies. He's obsessed with painting the world as if it is a movie. I was told that InfoWars was his Millennium Falcon and that it was his baby. And don't do anything to mess it up. I mean, so much of it was like, this is what Jones has spent the majority of his life building. And now he's lost it. And he's lost it in a way that it has to hurt. He can pretend all day that it doesn't. But I know Jones. I knew Jones for 4 years. I know that it bothers him.
As we discussed, you've written a really fascinating memoir. And I thought there's a very interesting vignette in it towards the end where you talk about how you signed your book deal despite having an NDA, a non-disclosure agreement, hanging over your head. And you go to see a lawyer who says, as a lawyer, my advice is, yeah, you can't get around the NDA. It's too much of a risk. You might get sued. And then the lawyer pauses and says, but as a human being who has to live in this country, you have to do this. What are you hoping that people get from this book?
I hope that people can get some insight into what it's like to be pulled into that world. Because regardless of whether Jones is sidelined and he's doing his stuff on the fringes again or whatever it ends up being, so much of our country and our world is siloed off into these ideas and these systems and these grifters who are pushing these lies. And I think there's some confusion about, like, everyone who's involved in that stuff is just a horrible person and can be written off. And I'm not dismissing anyone, and I'm not even dismissing myself. I mean, so much of the book is just me taking ownership of my own actions.
Yeah.
But I also hope that it gives a sense of what it's like to be pulled into that world and how difficult it is to get out. And so much of what helped me was the people that I was surrounded by, specifically my partner, Lacey. She was constantly...
She's a patient woman. Wow.
My God. Yes. Yeah, I am so incredibly grateful for her. So many young men, I feel like, are buying into these, like, looks-maxing communities and these, like, far-right, you know, Nazi communities and this white identity, and they're seeing connections with people as like, what's the return on investment or what is the benefit to them individually? And so much of the book, I hope, gives an example of how important it is to surround yourself with people who are compassionate and considerate and smarter than you and willing to challenge you. Because so many times in that world, I saw people when they were challenged, they removed those people from their life. Mm-hmm. They cut them out of their life. And so what I'm showing is that it's important to be challenged. It's important to be questioned. And relationships are at least a big part of the reason that I'm no longer in that world.
That feels like a good place to end on an optimistic note. Josh, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
That was Josh Owens. I really recommend his book. It's called The Madness of Believing, a memoir from inside Alex Jones's conspiracy machine. Before we go, I just wanted to tell you about a video podcast that our New York office is launching. It's called Stateside with Kai and Carter, and it's hosted by our colleagues Kai Wright and Carter Sherman. Each week, they're going to be trying to make sense of some of the biggest stories happening right now. The show will feature conversations with some of the smartest thinkers and reporters, not just from The Guardian, but from across the world. It's launching on the 13th of May, with episodes every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. You can find it in full video on YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts. And that is all for today. This episode was produced by Eli Block and presented by me, Helen Pidd. Sound design was by Brian McNamara, and the executive producer was Puma Khalili. We'll be back in your feeds this afternoon with the latest.
This is The Guardian.
Full Story is supported by CommBank. CommBank is dedicated to using the latest tech to create real change. From utilizing agentic AI to outsmart cybercrime, to solving complex problems at scale, their teams support more than 17 million Australians every day. And you could be part of it. CommBank is looking for senior technologists to help influence strategy, security, and innovation across one of Australia's leading tech environments. If you're a curious mind who thrives on collaboration and is eager to engineer real impact, search CommBank Tech Careers.